Would you join with me in giving thanks unto our gracious Father? Eternal God, we bless, we praise, and thank thee Lord, it's been thy work within our hearts that has brought us to know thee and Christ. Thank you for the Spirit of God that takes the precious things of Christ and reveals them unto us. Thank you, Father, for this day and that you've already had to say. In prayer, in the devotion, and in the hymn. Now I pray, Father, that you might be pleased to help these in the preaching of thy word. Lord, that you would open their hearts, that you would give them an understanding, and that we may press on to know, forgetting those things that are behind us and reaching for the prize set before us. Help these. Some have personal concerns. Some have family members not well. But Lord, I trust you'll help them this hour. Lord, let us continue to look upward. Why under heaven was I brought in when so many around know not the joy and the sweetness in thy revelation? God, help us. Exalt Christ. And give us thy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I just stopped last week. That might have been, I guess, the third, maybe the third or fourth time we have looked at who shall ascend into the hill of God. And last week it was God giving us an understanding. That's not in natural man. Natural man receiveth not the things of God, their foolishness unto him. It is God giving us understanding that we might ascend. Of course, if you know God, it is an ascension. Every time you read and obtain, and every time you pray and you feel that your prayers have entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts, it was because you had ascended. Folk, the one thing that is missing has been missing for a long, long time. What one of the old writers put down in words and then put them to music, I stand amazed. We've lost that. No amazement anymore concerning the person of God, the work of God. No solemnness, no awe. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love a sinner, condemned and unclean. And once in a while, you get lost in God. Not in your religious doings. Every once in a while, do you stand? What we're dealing with today, who shall stand in his holy place? For one thing certain, it is one of the very few things that is certain. We will stand in the presence of God. The one thing that we on the downslope of life have learned is that it passed very quickly. You don't know that yet, you that are young, even though it's passing quickly to you, you don't know how quickly it's passing. And you look back and you wonder, where did it go? And I wonder how one will be able to stand. Every time there is a sense of the being of God anywhere near, every time I want to get on my face. I feel more comfortable there. I am at ease there. There is less required of me on my face. But for Christ to begin receiving something of the glory that is due him in your salvation, you've got to stand. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Elijah, aren't you more comfortable in the cave? I stand amazed. For me, it was in the garden he prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own grief. But he shed our sweat was as drops of blood for mine. Don't weep for me, you daughters of Jerusalem. Weep for yourself. In pity, the angels beheld him and came from that world of light. To comfort him in his sorrows. He bore for my soul that night. How marvelous. How wonderful. And so my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. When with a ransom in glory his face I shall see, will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Amazement. How can a sinner even crawl On his hands and knees, how can he crawl into the presence of God, much less stand? And you will one day. I will. And a few more sunsets. In a few more days. And that thought in itself, produces a dread in me. I mean, it's a sobering thing. To think that I'm going to stand in the presence of God. Look God in the face. Well, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, there's got to be an understanding in mind, not the natural mind. There are too many gods out there that are no more than the imagination of men's own minds. They've built their own gods, and honest children, every time we start building God, he'll be like us. You thought that I was altogether such a one as thyself. So we keep coming back to the scripture, back to the sufficiency of the Word of God to strip us of our ideas and notions, and God to form a right mind as to who God is. Folk, I know that we've got to say God has attributes, but He really doesn't. You say, well, love is an attribute. Not really. It's just who God is. Now, we have to use them to describe God is light. It's not an attribute. That's just God. God is a simple, majestic being. And you better learn to stand here before you have to stand before Him in that day. The great men of the earth . The mighty men . Kings and the chief of men called to the rocks and to the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath. Probably the meekest of all animals, as far as we know, would be a little lamb. Jesus Christ was meek, very tender, compassionate, and mild. He sits on the throne today as the high priest, as God is high priest. When time's over with, there is a holy wrath as much as there is a holy love in the breast of the Holy Son of God. And all the mighty men, chief of men, and the captains, and the great men of the earth, and the kings, are praying that some catastrophe happens so that the mountains would bury them beneath it, so that they didn't have to look into the face of God. If it doesn't produce a natural fear, and then if it doesn't produce a natural fear, you've never been made acquainted with God. And if that natural fear is not carried over into the spiritual realm of a holy fear and reverence before God, you haven't stood there. Well, this is easy to get along with, loving little Jesus that the harlot church has presented. And there was a spirit that came to the Lord and said, Lord, I'll deceive the king. And God said, how? And he said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God said, go ahead. And have your work. And the lying prophets deceived the king. Well, Isaiah 43, verse number 10. All I want you to do, children, is try to come to some apprehension in mind that you will stand before God. If there's a million people around you, it's just going to be you and God. Verse number 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Let's narrow it on down from the crowd to the individual. And my servant, whom I have chosen. If any man serves not the Lord Jesus Christ, he is none of the Lord's. He does not know God. He does not know Christ. He does not know and have the Spirit of God within him revealing. God chose you as his witness. And then God chose you as his servant. For as many as are his servants will enter glory, none else. And if you are his servant, he has chosen you that you may know. Number one, that you may know. It's not the God, the preacher's, telling you about. It's not the God that's in the Baptist creed. It's not the God that is over the religious system today. It's about the one true living God. All I can do is give you information. All you can do when you read the Bible is get information. That God can use that information to bring you on to know, but you got to know. You got to know that you know. That you know God. Nobody's going to glory without knowing God, Christ. Nobody's going to glory without looking into the very face of God, though through a glass darkly. Yet we see God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's that that changes us. From the image that we are in Adam to the image that God is forming within us in the likeness of his Son. Jesus came down from glory because he had a people that God had given him in eternity. He had a people that he loved before the foundation of the world, and he came down to earth to get her, bring her out of the world and bring her unto himself before she's ever with him in glory. She'll know her husband. And when he uttered those great, great words, it was of such importance and relevance and significance that he let one moisten his tongue and his lips so he could cry with a loud voice. So everybody could hear. All those trembling women and the beloved disciple and the reprobate religionist could hear, it is finished. And he ascended up out of the grave, and 40 days later he went back to sit down on the throne. And ever since that time, God's been bringing his bride. She looks like him. She talks like him. She acts like him. Whether she is alone, or whether she is in company, whether she is in the kitchen, or whether she is in the grocery store, she acts like Jesus. And she's got a desire to be where he is. It is finished. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when he sat down on the throne of glory, every last single individual that makes up the bride of Christ will know him. She will love him. There'll be times that you'll stand amazed that God would allow you that position before his face. You are my witnesses. You are my servant that I have chosen, whom I have chosen, that you may know. I think I ended last Sunday by telling you most folk think that death's going to bring about such a drastic change that everything will be all right and God will usher them into his presence. Death's not going to change who you are. Life is what's making the change. Daily walking. Daily learning. Daily communion with him. That's what's making the change. It's not going to be when you die that all of a sudden you're going to be this holy creature. Granted, that will be true, but if he is not doing that now, it's because you do not know him. Though you may know. And the Pharisees and the scribes that handled the word of God and knew the law of Moses and knew the prophets and knew the Psalms and knew what they said about God did not know him because the Spirit of God had not given them the revelation of Christ. And when he came, their God that they had made in their own head, Christ didn't come up to that image. And they called God the devil. I don't care what your opinions are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter about mine. Only thing that matters is that God stripped from me all that I have formed that is not right about him, and God take away from me all religious things that I think about God and bring me on to know. Then shall you know if you follow on to know. Hopefully the Spirit of God will have given you just a little glimpse. And you'll follow on this week. And then the next week, he'll give you another little glimpse. And you'll follow on. And you'll keep following on till you know him. My God. God, how can a man condemned, guilty, having broken the law of God multitude of times, how can one stand? Simply because God wed them to his Son. Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? And her brother and her mother said, wait a little while. Stay in the home a few more weeks or a few more months. And the servant of Abraham said, no. Wilt thou go with this man? Never seen him, but she'd heard about him. We've not seen him, not with a natural eye, but we heard about him, and every last soul that God works in their heart, every last one of them will go. They'll quit lingering. They'll quit straddling the fence. They'll quit making excuses. And they'll go with the man. I wonder what her journey was like with the servant as he described her to-be husband. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, Paul, you never did see him. Saul, you never did see him. Though I have known Christ after the flesh, know we hence him anymore. That you may know. Number two, Isaiah 43:10. That you may believe me. Believe me. And God's going to put you. One of these days, God's going to put you with a Red Sea in front of you and Pharaoh's army behind you. And God's going to say, go over. And you're going to say, I can't. God's going to mean for you to move on. And you don't have faith. But God's going to work in you so that you believe. And in that process, God's going to take away everything from you that you've been calling faith and believing. And God's going to throw you in the furnace of affliction. And it's going to burn up. It's going to burn up every humanistic thought and every imagination of the flesh concerning the person of Jesus, and you're going to say, we do not know him henceforth after the flesh, but we believe. Because God stripped us of what we call faith, burned up everything, and we thought there were some things in us that were very beneficial and very useful, and you'll have God come to you and he'll take away everything that you thought you needed, and he'll take it out to the trash pile, and you'll be standing there with nothing. Then he says, okay, now I want you to believe. And he'll work that in you. And it'll be the faith of the Son of Christ in you, and not the Baptist faith, and not the faith you had that you thought was the faith of God. You may believe me, and that you may understand. Oh, my soul. How under God is the mind going to come up to an understanding? That I am. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know you got to know him. I do know you got to believe him. I do know that you got to understand that he is the great Lord. When I get back to Egypt and I tell the children of Israel that you have sent me to bring them out, who am I going to tell them sent me? Just go tell them I am. That I am. I do not like translations that have come out. And there's as many translations as there are states. Well, we've made it simpler. We've made it more understanding. No, you hadn't. We've put it in the modern day language. I don't care. Nobody understand. Why don't we just... J.C. Philpott said that God had raised up the good old Anglo-Saxon language from which we derive our English version. Well, there's error. No, it's not. Well, there's some verses that contradict other verses. No, it's not. If you think there's a contradiction in the Word of God, it's all up there in your head. It can't be inspired and infallible if it's not true. Just stick with what you got, folks. It's God that gives the understanding. If there's not a jealousy in you husbands, you're missing out on that little in Christ. There is a wicked jealousy, I understand. But I know this, Christ is very jealous over his bride. And he will not let you have another. He is so jealous over your love that he'll put you in a strait you can't get out of if you have not been obedient and loving and following him. And the lazy bride wouldn't get up off her bed when he knocked at the door. And when she did get up, she found that he was gone, and she went about the city. And she said to those women, if you find him, somebody find him and tell him that I'm lovesick now. He's not going to have you laying around in an easy chair when you need be where he is. He's not going to let you stay on a bed of comfort when he's out in the night with his head wet with the dew. He's going to have you where he is. He's jealous of you. And you be not conformed. He'll make sure of that. You be not conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You'll go where he is. You'll follow him where he leads. He'll prove to you and you'll prove to the world that that which he is to you is good, perfect, and acceptable. And some of you got your swords on your side, but you left them out. You didn't put them in the case, and the tips of them are dragging on the ground. And you're getting them dull. And you're not going to have a weapon when your great enemy comes. You're compromising. You're not standing firm. You're not standing true or faithful. You're just dragging. You're dragging your sword or letting it drag. And folk, there's a greater danger than conformity to the world. My work, my family, my friends that are dear to me. And there is a danger within every one of us because of natural affections given by God. Though we are depraved, there's still fallen man still bears something of the image of God. You love your children because you got that from God. You say, well, I don't know God. You still were made in the image of God. You love your spouse because you got that from God. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, behold, you better take heed when he starts out with the word behold, same as you do if he starts out with the word woe. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, wife loves that husband, she's going to try to do that which is pleasing. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You're going to find these things in life. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Now let me tell you about a man, father in Israel. Remember Abraham and Isaac. And when Isaac was old, he could not see. You say that just comes with age. I'm not talking about what's in the natural. His eyes were dim that he could not see because he had a favorite son, Esau. And God pointed this out to us by the Holy Spirit. He loved him because he did eat of the venison. Esau was a great hunter. He was a lot more like his dad, a he-man. And Jacob was a conniver. And Isaac wanted Esau to have the blessings of the firstborn. Esau was the pick of his daddy when God already had told Rebekah that the younger would be the ruler. And he tried, and because of that favorite son and not yielding to the Spirit of God and those natural affections in him, when he was old, his eyes were dim. What I read to you in Isaiah was that your eyes shall not be dim. And you'll hear and you'll see from now all the way to death's bed. You'll be seeing glimpses of Jesus. And though the natural eye might completely give out, you still will be seeing. And Eli was 98 years old. And his eyes were dim so that he could not see. His boys came before God. They were first in his heart. And he lost his vision. Lamentation. Right after Jeremiah. Folk, I hadn't followed an outline, didn't have an outline. I just quit yesterday. I hope there's been enough of this fitted together that it makes sense. For all I can do is try to follow the Spirit of God. Lamentation 5. 14, Judah and Israel have sinned grievously. They've turned their back and not their face to God, so God's turned his back to them. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. He's made you kings and priests unto God. Woe is us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint, and for these things our eyes are dim. Dragging your sword, following your husband at a distance when you ought to be up there walking. I told you about the commercial. I don't know what it, diamonds. They were advertising diamonds. And this young couple were walking down the sidewalk holding hands. And behind them came an old man. He was on the left side of the walk. and an old lady. She was on the right side of the wall. And this young married couple passed them. They let go, and then when they got in front of the older couple, they joined hands again. And the older couple remembered, this is the way it was when we were young, in love. Things have separated us now. But when they saw that young couple holding hands, then the old couple joined hands and walked on. Don't let things separate you from Christ. I don't care how good a friend. I don't care how good a job. I don't care how close natural ties are. Walk with Christ, lest your eyes be dim and your heart faint. Let me give you one last. Ecclesiastes. Last verse in Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man. And the evolutionists have said that man has evolved over billions of years from a tiny one-cell animal to an upright creature. Now the human is upright because of evolution. I'll tell you how I feel in my heart about that. And if I told you plainly the way I feel, you might dismiss me as your pastor. I despise. I hate. And wouldn't give them a time of day when they take God out of the picture. This only have I found. God hath made man. Evolutionists say man's evolved and now he walks upright. God hath made man upright. A human being is the only, and if you want to class us in the same category as animals, as scientists do, a human being is the only animal with the backbone upright. You're thinking about kangaroos, and you're thinking about bears, and you're thinking about a little chipmunk or the squirrel that sits on its back two legs, and you see these animals sometimes moving on two legs. They do not have a perfectly straight backbone. It's curved. The only creature with a backbone is man. But they have sought out many inventions. Now, I hadn't got time to put all this together. I'm just going to leave it with you. From a worm squirming around in the dust, to God recreating and working again, so that now the center of gravity is around your waist and you have been made upright. Now stand. Oh, but I'm such a great sinner. Some folk magnify their sins to such a degree that there is a religion out there that we're proud of our humility. We're proud that we know we were sinners. Every once in a while, the children of God have got to stand on their feet in an upright position, looking God directly in the face and giving credit due where it is. I'm here because of Christ. He did it. All glory to the Lamb. Yes, I was a sinner, but I am a perfect creature in the sight of God. Folk, the greatest work God will ever do for you in this life is to take away all false hopes and confidences and leave you with nothing except that which He gives you that enables you to stand. And it's a mighty long way up on our face as a sinner to standing before God without condemnation, without guilt, clothed in a perfect righteousness. And when God has taken away everything from you and then has begun to rebuild or to build that hope and that confidence in Jesus Christ, then you can be one of those that who shall stand in His holy place. He's got to have full glory. And you will stand. Saint or sinner, you will stand. Make sure right now. I think 1 Corinthians 10:12, I may be off base on that, but you can find it. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.